Are there any comments or questions about the practice?
It was more difficult for me to do it from one direction than the other one.
It's very good to see that. Difficult in what way?
Well, it was like to breathe in through my left side and follow it across and out the right side came natural. To do it the other way, it was like I had to concentrate. And it was like it was bouncy going across the top, you know. It wasn't going smoothly. Yeah. In through the right side.
So the first practice was more difficult,
yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Do you see the advantage to doing this practice, though, to bring that into equilibrium and balance, what that could do? Mm. What that can do? I mean, it's quite profound. So it's really good for that you can see that. And then you can also, as you do the practice, continue with the practice, you can see your own progress. Mm-hmm. It's like a biofeedback system.
Well, you know what? I got to tell you that, and it's just not your stomach growling, you know, because when I was in the hospital, I asked one of the nurses, I mean, this professional thing, you know, why is my stomach growling? And she says that's good because your juices are starting.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, each time I've done this, did you hear my stomach? It goes through your whole system.
Yeah, well, of
so
course.
The first
are other
time,
people
my stomach
feeling
was
that?
Growling.
Anything happening in your...
And the second time it happened again, my stomach was...
Yeah,
it's so
moving
it,
to
it
the
goes,
channels.
It makes your whole physical body...
Yeah, people will report, I've had sinus trouble, it's starting to clear up, or I had this pain here, and it's going, you know, and it's because it's moving through those channels.
I had the opposite. It was harder the second breath coming up the left. And when I got really hot.
Okay.
Really hot.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Like, oh, this is like the fire breath or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's okay. That's cool.
No, I think it's a little cool too. Do we need the heat up a little bit? I'm thinking, oh my God, all these people don't have shoes on. Are their feet cold?
I got a little confused on the second one. We were breathing in through the left.
Yeah.
You said down the right. Were you meaning breathing down the right or just visualizing?
No. You're changing where the breath is going. So you breathe in the left, hold, and out right. In left, hold, out right.
Okay.
It's an alternate nostril breathing in a sense.
So then when we were breathing right, then we should have been breathing out left?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I wasn't doing it right.
Well, there's no really right or wrong, but it's good that you ask so that you'll know.
Mm-hmm.
Any other things like that? Because that's very good for us to see that. And it could just be the particular condition. It could be influences around you.
It seems to give us great presence because I needed a Kleenex desperately and now I don't. Because
good.
It empowered me to just
you're hungry,
be
so
one and whole.
Something with the juices.
Good. Anything else?
It's, you know, we did this.
Mom,
soon,
please. Mom,
you?
Mom, do you have something to say to the group?
No, she can be.
Thank you.
We're just talking about
okay. Yes.
Oh, I was just going to say, we do that breath in our yoga practice sometimes that we have during the week. And the first time we did it, I was very anxious. Like it was a very uncomfortable way of breathing. So it almost made you hyperventilate because it was, you know. But the more we've done it, the more it's become a very calming breath. So kind of to that point again, that the uncomfortableness of it, it does seem like the more you do it, the more you get it, it changes. It really is.
Gives us a whole beautiful shift where we can be content anywhere all the time.
Mm-hmm. Because
really
I think
grounded.
That stresses us out when we can't breathe through one side. You know, like if you're really doing it where you're kind of holding off one, it's so human nature to be like, I can't breathe. I can't breathe out of the side of my nose. But then when you just see it as sort of a cycle.
This is the nature of the mind. It wants everything. Well, it's not enough to breathe out of one nostril. I need both. Do you see? It shows us something about ourselves. You know, there's a lot of teachings. That's why I said in the beginning about the art of personality. You know, there's a lot of emphasis in Murchet's teachings about kind of being little, becoming small. Because we think we want what we want, and by God, we want it now, you know. And the idea of even holding the breath is frightening to people. My God, I can't breathe. You're asking me to hold my breath. Do you know? It's really, there even the, and I'm not saying this about you, Karen. This is about all of us. This is human nature. This is, you know, this is the nature of the ego. How dare you tell me to hold my breath? Do you know what I'm saying? It's strange. I mean, we say that to ourselves. You know, the body's saying, don't take my breath away. Yes.
Aleem or Alima, if you want to turn on your mic and go ahead.
Yes, I'd just like to share that this visualization with the breathing, it seemed to balance Jalal with Jamal as I was listening to the last class, and also it made following the breath through the right channel and the left channel possible without holding the nose. A very subtle observation.
Okay. Thank you.
Question.
Yes.
My experience in doing this was that this breath was like connecting my right nostril with in or out with the left lobe, and then the left nostril with the right lobe. Is that an integral part of the intention of this, or was that just coincidental too?
No, I think it's very intentional. I think that's what this is doing, in fact, is it's balancing the hemispheres of the brain, which have to do with every other function. So if one found it exceptionally difficult to breathe in a certain way, then you would look perhaps, well, let's talk about that. You noticed it was more difficult in the beginning
mm-hmm.
practice.
Mm-hmm.
And was there anything else that came up during that beginning practice?
No, this was...
Noticing it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else?
The only aspect of this that I found difficult was moving from one side to the other side while my breath was still. And, you know, I'm not sure if that has anything to do with connecting the two or if that's just sort of metaphorical, but the fact that the breath was still but the visualization was moving it seemed like rubbing my belly and anyway.
You needed the breath to propel
yeah.
that. Yeah, your thought along that line. Yeah. Would anyone like to speak to what they think happens with that first breath? I mean, we talked a little bit about it last. Did you feel anything else in the body, or brilliance in terms of the shape, or sound, or anything? Did you notice anything different? Because they are intended to invoke two very different kinds of states of awareness or states of mind.
I think I was too focused on the mechanics of it.
Yeah,
then
it can happen.
That place.
Yeah,
I think after a little practice, maybe I could have an awareness
okay.
of what you're asking.
During the practice, I was very much focused on the mechanics of doing it. But after, I took a moment to kind of feel the result, I guess, or to try and feel what was there. And for the first one, it was and these words actually came to my mind. It was like, what is that? But it was very gentle and very sweet. And the second was luminous.
Yeah, for me on the second one, the triangle actually got much more brilliant. I don't know if anyone had that sense of anything, like there was more luminosity. So it was interesting that you would, for me, that also happened. Richard?
Equally, in the right, out the left, in the left, out the right, there seemed to be a very, it was like an express way to quiet it. There's a cessation of the background noise very quickly. And the quality of the light that traced the triangle was different than anything I'd ever visualized. It appeared spontaneously as a bright, faceted, prismatic light. And the only resistance was at the very beginning, both times, was if I could not see an equilateral triangle. And I just wanted to dip down to the left. And then I visualized it moving up and becoming congruent and being equal on both sides. And as that happened, there was a greater quiet.
A balance.
You mentioned that, I think you mentioned that sometimes this is done with an upward pointing instead of a downward pointing triangle. So I presume that's a different experience.
It is.
When it's involution or growth, I think down is growth, right? The point down.
Some things are to be experienced. Do you want to try it the other way with the point going up?
No. Yes, for balance. We don't want.
That was a quick comeback.
No.
Yes. Okay, so here we're going to try again the breath. And after you do it for a while, you see things are so subtle. You think you're not getting anything. Something will happen, I'm sure. We'll talk a little bit. I'll read a little bit from the paper. But I first didn't want to... You see, I think it's always very good if we can have the experience and then it gets validated. Instead of like being told what we should experience and then it's like... then the judging. You know, oh, I'm getting it, I'm not getting it, I'm not doing it right, I'm doing it right. You know, it's like... So these are things, let's just repeat what the first exercise was so that you can do it on your own. Where did we begin the breath?
In the right.
And out the left, right? And we did that five times for the count of five, tracing the triangle with the base of the triangle at the top at the hairline, as Amina said, right? And then we reverse that. So just when you're quiet and you can do that on your own, just do it and observe what you experience. Now we're going to flip the triangle so the base of the triangle will be where our eyebrows are, and it's pointing up towards our hairline. Okay?
The upper point, is it still like at the hairline, or is it higher?
Well, you know, it can be a small triangle, it can be a big, it's kind of, if you went your full four, it's well, kind of really up to you.
If you were visualizing it, where would you put some
hairline? I probably would visualize it there, probably this, you know, like that. Leo. Now here the difference will be, we're going to breathe in and out, and we're going to hold out. Okay, so instead of holding on the in-breath, we're going to breathe in, out, hold. In, out, hold. Instead of in, hold, out. You got it? Wow. And that's always scary. It's like, wait, I've just breathed out and I'm holding and I haven't taken my in-breath? Leo.
Come on, lay down.
Neighborhood party. They're looking for him.
Yeah, it's true.
And so as we were holding on the object, we're still moving the visualization over to the initial point.
Right.
Okay. He likes the people better than the dogs.
So we're going to start again. The base of the triangle is resting on the brow, the eyebrows, let's say. And we're going to breathe in the right, out the left, hold as we trace the triangle, moving from left to right. Then we breathe in the right, out the left, hold, in right, out left, hold. Got it? Everybody got it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
One moment.
Yes.
Coming, breathing in, you're starting at the same point that your nostril is breathing in. You're breathing
yes.
in the right nostril,
yes.
you start at the right point. Go
yes, you're, so here's yeah. the triangle.
Yes.
Okay, I'm making, how can I explain this? It's a triangle with the point going up, and I'm making this gesture with my hand. So the instructions are breathing in right, so I'm tracing this part of the triangle. I breathe out left, I hold, right? Do our Skype members have it? Is it clear? So you breathe up towards the point, tracing, out towards the base, and then hold along the base. Everyone's got it? Very good.
Yes.
So Leo, come on, babe.
Hi, honey.
Come to me. Okay, Leo. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Breathe out, 2, 3, 4, 5. In the right, out the left, hold. Let's start again. I'm sorry, I wasn't even paying attention to that metronome. I have no idea what we're doing. And if you don't know what I'm doing, certainly you don't know what I'm doing.
We started on the left this time, we started on the right last time.
We're starting on the right. We're starting on the right and out the left. In right, out left, in right, out left. And when we're with the out breath, we're holding. So let's start again. Yeah, let's just take a moment and breathe. We need not be concerned. It is what it is. If we get too fixated on the technology, sometimes we lose the inspiration. Okay. So we're breathing out. In right. Out left. Hold. In. Out. Hold. In right. Left. Hold. In right. Out left. Hold. In right. Left. Hold. In right. Out left. Hold. begin with the pyramid pointing upward. We're going to start, and we'll reverse the process. We'll breathe in right, hold, out, in left, and out right. Then we hold. In left, out right, then we hold. In left, out right, then we hold. Breathe out, in left, out right, hold, in left, out right, hold. Hold. In left. Out right. Hold. In left. Out right. Hold. And relax. About how that practice was different than the first one.
Was that a symbol of fire to burn up everything and make us very something? Whereas the other one was water to make us expand and flow?
Did it feel like that for
you? I don't know.
Yeah.
That one made me lightheaded.
Made you lightheaded. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And instead of, I thought it was interesting earlier when people were saying that there was the triangle with itself was light. For me, it's just the point that's tracing that became brighter. So it's not like I saw a fault, but particularly on that one, when it went across the bottom, it seemed to grow brighter. Like just that, it was almost like a sparkler, you know, making tracing the sparkler symbol on it kind of go out after.
Well, you see, holding the breath, you have to consider that because you were holding the breath when it became brighter. Mm-hmm. That is indicating something very subtle. When we're throwing out the breath, we're casting the light out. Or holding the breath, it's getting charged up inside, you see? There's a reason for these practices this way. That's why it's good to pay attention to everything you're noticing without too much analysis. Musa?
For me, both directions really put the concentration here. Just really, increasingly put the concentration here. The thought occurred to me, and I set it aside, but it should be possible to do both triangles simultaneously.
Well, that's the Sri Yantra.
The Sri Yantra, yeah. Or the Star of David.
Yes. Was there a question here?
Alina, why don't you go ahead first? Turn on your mic.
Okay. Thank you. I felt something like an energy drift downward from the top of my head, and I realized that the first breathing had sent it there, but I didn't realize it until after I did the second breathing exercise when I felt it move down. And when I held my breath on the second one, I felt it spread. It was an interesting effect.
Very good. Good observations. I mean, it's good that you could experience those two different things. And again, these things aren't meant to be... I'm so glad you're sharing, and it's good that when we can validate our own experiences, I think you're kind of, it's good, and it'll be developmental in terms of your experience. This breath, I think, for you, Amina, would be good for you to continue with. I don't think you're doing that practice yet, are you?
No, I'm not.
I think this would be very good for you to continue with.
Alrighty, thank you.
You're welcome, thank you.
And Aleem or Alima, go ahead.
Hi, I felt the focusing effect, and it's pretty strong tingling in my hands, and also a warmth in my heart. So I thought I felt it maybe more focused and strong with doing it this way.
I'm sorry, again? A different...
Yes, I felt it, I think, more focused and strongly doing it this way.
Can you think why that might be?
I don't know.
Anyone from the group? Based on the
breath became more clear on my sinuses. It was clearer.
It was a fire breath.
But you see, where is the base of the triangle?
Well, I'm going straight across the second way.
The second way. It was going straight across the other way as well. I mean, it's an equilateral triangle, but the base being, where was it on the second?
Across the eyebrows. The point was at the top.
Yes.
The base was at the bottom.
Yes, and what does that indicate to you, just symbolically? Well, let's say you have a child's block, and it's an equilateral triangle, and you're at one point putting it on its apex at the point, and the other point you're putting it on its base. What do those indicate to you?
Well, it's stronger foundation.
Yes, very much so. That's why you were feeling that, and also Amina. She felt that bringing down, bringing it down, that it had us offered us kind of stability. Well, the other ones can offer inspiration, but the other one is we say fana baka in Sufism. What does that mean? Yes, one is a resurrection and one is eminence. What do you think, that we're just drawing these triangles on our forehead because we're stupid? My God, really think about it. I mean, it's like, what are we? Here, gonna shake my pinky and, turn around. I mean, these aren't sacred handshakes. There's a reason for this. Do you know what I mean? We're not fools here. I mean, we probably are, but, hopefully we're fools that are getting somewhere in the spiritual path.
Laugh out loud.
But I'm really not trying to torture you here. Neither is Anayat Khan. We're trying to, but these are terms that we talk about a lot. Annihilation. Disintegration. Opening up, and then sort of this recollection of oneself into the image of the soul. I mean, these practices have the potential to do that. Yes.
Are there recommendations on the number of cycles for each breath? Or is it just...
Well, it's always... In this practice, because this is specifically called the triangle breath.
Yes.
There's no mystery there. it's equal, because it's an equilateral triangle.
Right.
Okay, so it's... If you start with 3 and 3, then it's 3. So it's... or 4 in, 4 hold, 4 out, or 5 in, 5 hold, 5 out. So, or 5 in, 5 out, 5 hold. So, but you keep it even. Or 3 in, 3 out, 3 hold. Do you see?
Well, I was just wondering, are you saying then if you're breathing in five and out to a count of five and holding to a count of five, you do that five times?
Yeah.
Okay, that is the last one.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, and if you're doing it three, you do three times.
Thank you.
Again, you know, he was a musician, he was a master of rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
The mysticism of sound. This is sound at a subtle dimension of breath. And rhythmic breathing, remember, that was in the paper. Yes.
I also had to get past, at the beginning of that second exercise, just cracking up over noticing that Leo had entrained the metronome with his breathing.
Isn't that true?
A different rate. A different counting.
So I'm gonna give you a test now. You won't know which paper I'm reading from, so we'll see how you do. If I were to ask you this question, if one gave you a greater sense of awakening, one set of practices, awakening, opening, or the other would be a sense of a kind of accomplishment, can you determine which one of those sets of practices was which?
Can you say them again?
A sense of awakening or an opening, or a sense of accomplishment.
I mean, which of the in left, right, or in left?
Oh,
the triangle.
Those practices.
Point up at the top and the base along the brow seemed more of accomplishment.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought too. Yeah.
There was less, it was less visual overall, and yet at the top, at the very top, was a snow-covered Mount Everest on a sunny day.
Others? Yeah. Go
very,
ahead, I'm
very,
sorry.
Very powerful and very peaceful.
For me, I would say it was more of a sense of awareness than accomplishment. I just became more aware of what I was doing as I was doing it.
Yes.
And I also noticed that the tick-tocking kind of helped me hold my breath to get through the bass to the point where I could actually see the tick-tocking as it was going across the bass.
Mm-hmm.
And it helped me be able to hold my breath a little longer because of the rhythm that I was picking up.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had this real big sense of awareness.
Okay. Anyone else?
It looks like the one along the base at the bottom. When you said that, it just instinctively said that that's the way it was, but it wasn't because of something I felt.
What did you feel?
No, it wasn't because of something I felt. It was just sort of something that seemed like that seemed more accomplishing, and with it going up like that, it seemed more like you were rising up towards something, and they were more grounded maybe or something.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe someone could let them know.
Both times, you know, when you're following across, it was like I had more difficulty following it from this side to that side, whether it was up there or down here. It's easier to follow it this way than this way.
Yeah, that's really good to know, though, about oneself and to practice to bring that into a kind of equilibrium.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, again, let's see, do I have that paper here? I might want to read something from. I'm going to read a bit ahead because I think it touches on this in a very good way. It's highlighted in the next teaching, which we'll revisit next month. Murshid says that breath is likened to water. And he says the flowing of the breath is like the flowing of a stream. Inhalation and exhalation show ebb and flow. He says that the parts of earth which water doesn't touch remain barren. And so it is with the centers of our body. And that also relates to our intuitive faculties and our capabilities, that they can be fallow or barren and remain unproductive. So then he gets into the analogy of the Hindu sacred rivers, the Ganges, or they call it her Ganga, and the Yamuna, or Yamuna. And he talks about these are symbols of Jalal and Jamal. Jalal and Jamal. And the two directions of, they're like two directions that are like the flow of the breath. And he says the place where they meet are called the Sangam. And it means meeting or unity. And that place is to be considered very sacred, that union. He says that the Sangam is the meeting place of the two opposites. So you see here now we're getting a subtle interpretation. When you have difficulty in one way or another, one has to think about that, and it could be a momentary thing, just in terms of the breath or the day. It certainly happens throughout the day, the breath shifts. So, these terms, Jalal and Jamal, we've been talking about them the last few classes, but again, I'll read from this text, Universal Sufism, The Path of Prayer and Zikr. And for some, you heard this last class, or you've heard it on our recordings, but it's, I think it bears worth repeating again and again. I must be a very simple-minded person because I just read these things and I'm constantly inspired and re-energized. So this is from the Gita's 1.7 on mysticism and the effects of Jalal and Jamal. And he says, the whole creation has been formed by the law of rhythm, and rhythm is the cause of all the variety we see in nature. The sun, the moon, the stars, woman and man, all other aspects of nature differ owing to the rhythm, to the law of rhythm. The seer understands all things and their past, present, and future by the rhythm of his breath. Now here, I don't recall if I said it, but if I did, I'll repeat myself. You see, this is when you're trying to tune to something or someone or gain insight, you follow the vibration from this point back. And you follow that, and there you will find the cause of something. Or if you're trying to understand about a future decision, you use your breath from this point and you follow it out into the future to see what the possibility is or the potentiality. There you follow the rhythm of the breath. It is also used in the absentee healing service of Hazrat Vinayak Khan. The person's name is repeated. You follow the vibration of that name to that person while sending on the vibration the thought of healing and wholeness. This is how the rhythm of the breath and vibration works. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, it's a very, one can't easily understand. But it happens that way. Deborah, do you have a question?
Oh, well, I'm just thinking about what you're saying, and I could follow somewhat, but not completely.
That's my shortcoming. I'm sorry, I'm not conveying it very clearly, perhaps.
I don't know if that's it or not. I have to share with you, I am just maybe a little anxious at this point because I'm feeling like I have some other things I need to do and I feel like I need to get moving.
So well, then I'm, you should get moving.
Yeah, I should get moving. Well, my coat's upstairs.
Well, you're free to go upstairs and get it.
Yeah,
thank you.
To the middle room,
yeah,
thank you.
Anyone else? Halima, did you have a question?
I'm not sure how to formulate it. When, so, I'm like, are you sending that out in a certain direction?
No, you're not doing anything. The thing is that it is true. Science has shown that everything is a matter of vibration.
Right.
So this isn't hocus pocus. This is like finding energetically where that vibration is and following that vibration on the breath. It's very subtle, but it's not mystical or magical in any way. It's very real. You understand what I'm saying? Did that help a little bit, Jerry? Just to, yeah.
Yeah, I was just kind of putting pieces together from things that I've learned, like, the breath, you know, in the Jewish tradition is the moving outward of life force, so it makes sense with the breath.
Mm-hmm.
Alaha,
mm-hmm.
You know, and that has a rhythm and a breath to it, too.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about, you know, how you follow the vibration back, depending on. Just kind of soaking it up.
Okay, good. Anyone else? In the Jalal aspect, where the emphasis would be on the right side. Okay. It is the aspect that shows strength. It shows courage. It shows discipline. It shows power. It shows might. We find, here's Mishra's words, we find, thank you for
thank
coming.
Thank you.
We find, you see, this is the other
happy
thing.
Weekend.
We're so
thank
not
you.
Used to being able to, and sometimes in our classes, in our communities, we're very free to come and go. But it's good to also, you know, in our Tibetan Buddhist practice, we're not allowed. We don't care. I mean, it's not allowed that you would, even if you're very uncomfortable, to get up. It's part of the discipline, the control of the mind over the body. Do you understand what I'm saying? And this isn't Deborah's fault. She's accustomed to that. It's the pattern. People very freely come and go from things. We see that at our camps. We see that at our dance circles, our zikrs. People come when they want to come. They leave when they want to. You see, then people learn this. This isn't practice. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not a criticism at all. But we ourselves become that example, then this is what can happen. We can find Jalal power flowing through the right nostril as breath, working through the right hand, giving it an inclination to move first, through the right foot, giving it an inclination to step first.
Is the right being emphasized when you're breathing out?
Out.
That? Yeah.
That's right. That it's giving out. Yeah. Yes. And it's true, you know, that it's a different esoteric school, but through the teachings, the astrological breaths of Murshid Samuel Lewis, you know, he gives the sun breath, for example, and that's in and out the right nostril, whereas the moon is in and out the left. So there are those principles, the solar and the, or the radiant and the receptive, you see. So it's also there. He says, in the senses, that which shows is Jalal, and that which sees is Jamal. That which speaks is Jalal, and that which hears is Jamal. So the active and the receptive, the sender and the receiver. A thought which arises of itself in the mind is the Jalal thought. The thought which is caused by some other source is a Jamal thought. So here, now we understand the difference. Sometimes if we're very receptive, we can absorb something. You see, this is also why we want a balance in these practices. If we're very receptive, we're often open to impressions that may not altogether be helpful or healthy for us, you see. And likewise, we can't always be giving, giving, giving. We have to also absorb. So that's why we talk about this in terms of developing these receptive and active parts of ourselves. I know that we often go to other things and we quickly sit down and do this breath, but what's the deeper meaning of it is what I'm hoping we'll experience. I mean, we've even done in group, I'm sure all of us have, very early on, you might sit, oh, now we're doing a retreat, let's do the breath Chagall. And it's a very esoteric practice. But if we understand this, how can I, again, how can, not I, how can it affect our daily life and who we are in the world? Right? I'm getting a lot of blank looks. I'm not sure why. Thoughts?
Well, I think it's just very true. I mean, how you breathe then becomes how you carry yourself and how you portray yourself to others. And in that is who you are. And he, you know, goes back to that point about knowing people or communicating with people without speaking and or having an influence on them without having to say. And I think that's the power of the breath, just in it creates a persona
about you and to others. Do you feel like you learned anything today, Richard?
Very much so, and yet I sense it's a different kind of learning, and I'm finding that my quiet is not blank, that
yeah.
I'm taking this in.
Yeah. I feel there are two elements happening. I feel there is perhaps an element of resistance in the atmosphere, but I feel there's also the contrary element in a good way, that that's, or in another way, I should say, not a good way, that there's a receptivity, but there's a little bit of a struggle that can happen when that contrary influence is around. So I've been working with trying to clear that, but it's still there. It's okay. It may also make all of you have to work a little harder to get it.
Mercury retrograde? Is that what it is?
I can only speak for myself. At some point, I take in so much, and then it's just like, okay, then I need to just stay with it and practice it.
Yeah.
What I'm hearing in my own practice about resistance is that I'm not doing these practices just for myself.
Mm-hmm. It's so true.
Go ahead, Alina.
I just think it's wonderful to hear more about this and get a greater understanding of these directions of the receptivity and the active quality of myself. I think it's wonderful. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank Mershit. But you're welcome. You know, some of our friends that are joining us in this way, they don't have the luxury of having other people they can sit with like we do. And so it's very precious that we can have this opportunity to come together. There's so many people out there that are kind of alone in that. And I want to say a special thank you to our friend in England, Zora, who wrote, isn't yet connected to Skype, but I had mentioned to some of you before when we were at summer school in Holland, she was asking and wanting to know who was making these teachings available in this way. And she's doing some very beautiful work in the prisons there with writing, you know, getting at the soul of people. And she said, sometimes I would come home from work at night and I was alone and there was no community. And then I would hear Leo and Joe and other members of the group there talking and interacting, and I felt really connected to something. And thank God she came and talked to us. We wouldn't know, but there might be other people like that, that we're helping. You know, we're creating a community in a virtual sense, but there really isn't time and place. And you know, we live in a concretized world, but when we talk about the subtlety of vibration, then we're offering something else. And thereby, we don't just show up for ourselves, we show up for others. Like you say, Richard. I mean, how amazing is that? And luckily, I had a picture of Joe and Leo to share. One more little reading from the flower garden. Love can heal better than anything in the world. Love can heal better than anything in the world. Love can heal better than anything in the world. So before we have our closing prayer, I would like to say again, we have some information out on the table. We first of all, we have snacks and treats there that we can have. And we also have some hot chai, now that Joe turned it on at the beginning of the class. And it's decaf, so if you're expecting a buzz, you won't get one. You'll have to drink some more caffeine for later in the day. So it's decaf, and it's just sweetened with a little bit of honey, and it's a little spicy, so that's good. It'll get you going that way. And then we have other treats out there for you, some salt, some sugary. Everything that I read from, we try to make available here, so that there are books and there are the practice manuals and things like that are out on the counter. If you're interested, they're out there and they're marked. And we have a donation basket. Again, I always say the teachings are for everyone. And my time is absolutely just what I give here. And, you know, we open our home and we're so grateful that you show up and that we share in this way. You know, we always have ongoing projects and the money just passes through here and goes out. So we don't charge anything, not asking for anything, but if you can be generous and put something in our donation basket, we promise it will be put to good use and increase the merit of your intention by your offering. Okay. Shall we rise? Yes, we can hold hands, and we're bringing all of our friends from afar into the circle. And we're going to say the prayer Khatun. O thou who art perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the Lord of heaven and earth, open our hearts that we may hear thy voice, which constantly cometh from within. Disclose to us thy divine light, which is hidden in our souls, that we may know and understand life better. Most merciful and compassionate God, give us thy great goodness. Teach us thy loving forgiveness. Raise us above the distinctions and differences which divide men. Send us the peace of thy divine spirit, and unite us all in thy perfect being. Amen.